But it's all good, man. Like, it is obviously hard. Like, it is obviously hard. And, like, we do understand. So, everybody, something that happens a lot on this podcast is we start talking about a certain topic, right? And sometimes we end up going down what's called a well of therapy session, right? Which is pretty much where I start deeping sort of different thoughts. My mental health starts almost going down a little bit. And, you know, I end up in this hole where I can't quite figure out what is going on. So we've decided to get a professional, an expert in, so that I guess I, you, and the rest of the boys can sort of learn about ourselves, like about our mind, about how we can think, feel, and act that little bit better. All right, so let's introduce him. It's none other than Believing Bruce. Mate, how you doing?
I am good, Joe. I am good, gents. Thanks for the invite. I'm, when you were introducing an expert there, I felt like I was sort of looking around for, looking around for the expert. But no, it's good. You know, I've obviously watched this show, you make us giggle. So to be invited on it, you know, very, very privileged. And I'm really looking forward to what we're going to cover today.
Amazing. So pretty much we're going to cover as many different subjects, topics within this sort of like mental health sort of realm that we can. To list a few, we're going to touch on obviously sort of depression, anxiety, maybe sort of what may lead to that, sort of what lack of motivation can be brought on by and how to deal with that. So,
and I know
the boys. Yeah, go for it, mate. Go for it.
I don't know why, but I'm like, I'm shaking. I'm nervous.
You're nervous?
I'm fiddling with this little like tweak thing I've got. I don't know
maybe
why.
Maybe it's because, mate, this is our first ever guest. Like, we've never actually had anyone else on before.
Oh, wow.
You're the first ever guest, mate.
Really privileged.
This is huge. So something I want to touch on is performance anxiety, right? So performance anxiety in sport, in the bedroom, all right? And just in general, like the topic. So we'll start with the bedroom, right? Because that's often something we talk about on the show. Now, something that I actually experienced when I was in the process of trying to lose my virginity was that I would always get this performance anxiety that just shut down my body, right? Shut down. I wasn't able to operate and I was just a nervous wreck. And I just couldn't do it. I was like, in every time it would be like, this is it. This is the moment. Like with when it happens in sport, like the boxing, this is it. This is the moment. Boom, freeze. And I just want to basically, learn about that. Learn why that may be happening. And, you know, we get a lot of questions in about this as well. So I think a lot of viewers may, want to know this as well.
So, when we're talking about performance anxiety and all this type of stuff, you know, like what I do, coaching, it's executive coaching, it's leadership, it's coaching, all right? So take away the word performance, it's anxiety, all right? But what we're talking about here is very much dependent on the situation. So say, for example, you might have been, I don't know, in the context that you've just give, you might have been lying back in your bed like this and thinking, right, when I get hold of her, she's getting smashed. Whatever, you know, and I'm just taking the sort of language that you guys use on the channel or whatever it may be. I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna do that. Oh boy, you know, she's gonna be walking like John Wayne and all this other type of stuff that goes around. Now, the reason why I'm saying this, the context that I'm saying this in, it's important to note, is in that particular moment, you weren't feeling fearful, you weren't feeling negative, you weren't doubting yourself, you were. Stone cold Steve Austin. I'm going to slam her all over the bedroom. We're going to have a wicked time. She's going to text all her friends. Wow, Joe Weller, like, just what a stud, right? Then what we've got is the different situation. The different situation where you're in a different place with a different person, so you're not lying, you may be lying in a bed with a young lady. Okay, so the situation's different. So what we've got here is situational confidence. situational ability. That
so is in like so the first one is when I'm on my own, and the second version is when I'm with the girl. Okay, yeah, yeah, I get you. Yeah, because I mean that's 100%. Like I'll be on my own and be like, yeah, I can't wait to do this. This is exactly what I'm what I want. I'm ready. Mm-hmm. But yeah, with the girl, different situation.
Sure.
Yeah, like different responses happen. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that, you know, and again, just like I explained to Theo before, the beautiful thing about this is that there is things you can do because it's a choice. It is a choice to create that chapter. It is a choice to create those words within that chapter. You're actually choosing to then create the ending, which means you can choose. And again, it's not like, okay, I'm just going to be a stud. You know, all of a sudden you become John Wayne Bobbitt, whoever. It's like that just doesn't happen because you think you're going to do. What you've got to do is condition yourself, maybe it's again step by step, because you've got to accept that that was you at that particular time. Don't judge yourself against the guy on the right or the guy on the left. It's like, I need to focus on me. And this relates to boxing as well. This relates to any performance, any type of sport, any situation. It could be a job interview. It could be a going to pitch for some investment for a company. It's the it all comes back to this: how you think, how you feel, and then how you act. Becoming aware of the stories that you're telling yourself. Okay, one of the reasons why we tell ourselves negative stories is that we get wounded by negative stuff. Now, guys, you are in the industry of being YouTubers. There will be a lot of people who say, that was a bloody brilliant video. That was fantastic, guys. Oh, well done. And there might be, I don't know, 10,000 comments of, well, praise be, you are actually God. And that feels good, all right? That starts the dopamine pathway. You've got the mesolimbic pathway. You've got the right levels of serotonin for all the synapses. It's good. It feels good. But you just go across these and you're, yeah, good, 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 good. So there's 10,000 bloody brilliance. And then there's one who says, you're a twat. That shit. I wish you were dead, or something along the lines. And I've saw these type of unhelpful comments before. But that's the truth. But that hurts us. That wounds us. That's where you feel like you want to... Remember, you've had 10,000 brilliant, you know, bits of feedback, and you've never once felt the urge to reply, like a big lengthy reply about, yeah, it was fantastic, thanks very much, this is the reason why I went. But that one person who gives you that negative feedback, oh, the sleeves come up. You're ready for a fight. Yeah? You're ready for a fight. So it's very, very, again, it's beautifully human. Beautifully human to focus on the negatives, because, again, it's a self-preservation mechanism. A lot of what we do boils down to self-preservation. A lot of the choices that we make, a lot of the decisions that we make, a lot of the mistakes that we make have come down to us thinking, well, if we do this, at that particular moment in time, it will self-preserve us. So when it comes to anxiety, it's okay, first step, become aware of what we're thinking. Why are we thinking that? What evidence have we got that actually backs up this? Also, across the other side, what could be other possibilities? What could be other stories? What could be other outputs? Why would I enjoy this side more than that side? What, you know, how would this beautifully impact on my life if I could tell myself a different story? But again, if that's happened time and time and time again, and you haven't had the chance to reflect, to pause, to ponder, to offer yourself other narratives, then it's not just going to happen with, yes, it's going to happen tonight. It might. But it may take just a little bit of conditioning to get you out of that type of habit loop, as we call it. You know, the thinking, the feeling, the acting. What habits have you created to then build a cognitive narrative that then your body starts to react to? But it's no different from boxers walking in. They can be the best sparring boxer in the world, Joe. When the lights aren't on, when the camera crews aren't there, absolutely fantastic. Same with some local footballers that I know here in Newcastle. Get them on a Sunday league pitch, absolutely fantastic. When they're told that the Newcastle United scouts there, boom, have the world's most terrible game. All about situational confidence, but it comes from being aware of how you're thinking. You won't get the performance unless you become more in control of how you think, how you feel. Those two things together then equals how you act, Joe.
Fair enough. So say for, like, obviously the concept of, like, when you're like, this is it, like, oh my God, say like a guy that's about to lose his virginity, right? This is it. This is the moment I've been waiting for. So comparing that situation to when he's on his own, relaxed in his bedroom, right? There, Like, what's the difference? Okay, so when he's with the girl and it's the this is it moment, when he's like panicking and that starts like shutting things down, like in that moment, what can he start telling himself that maybe would make him react differently and feel like he can dominate the situation rather than be eaten up by it?
Yeah, sure. Dominate the situation.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Dominate the situation.
Yeah, beautiful. Why not? We're after total domination here.
Do you know what I mean?
It is the Terminator. We won't be back. They're going to be destroyed. Okay, so in order to do that, it doesn't actually start at that particular moment, Joe. It starts way before that. Because again, it's the stories that you tell yourself. And what we're doing here is we are taking control of the narrative that we play. But you've got to be conditioned, you know, you've actually got to practice doing this. It's got to become habitual, it's got to become routine. For anything to stick, you've got to do it time and time again. As we've discussed, you don't go into the gym and do one bicep curl and you get guns like Popeye, and that's it, you just do one forevermore. You go into the gym, exercise at least, you know, once a week on your arms, whatever it may be, but again, reps, that's what it is. The same with cerebral muscle, absolutely the same with cerebral or cognitive tools that we use. So what you could do is, okay, first of all, explore why that situation is becoming fearful. You've got to understand that. You can't ignore it, because if you ignore it, it won't go away. It will not go away. So why am I thinking like this? That one simple question, just like we done with Theo there before, allows him just to pause and think, all right, for all these years, why have I been, you know, why have I been thinking at that particular level that if I, you know, kiss my girlfriend in public and someone takes a photo, it will be bad and I'm creating all this anxiety. And what we can do, just like the, you know, the 10,000 brilliant comments versus the one negative one, we can start to reaffirm, we can start to amplify. Well, again, let's keep it in the context. Now, this may be humorous, but I'm going to roll with it here because this is the situation that you have given me. So what is the benefit of me getting it right? Getting it hard. Let's just call it that. Yeah. What are the benefits? And again, what you do is you perform a visualization here. You are visualizing that the performance, you are visualizing the benefits, let's call it that, of the performance. Yep. Boom, it's going to be rock solid. She's going to be beautifully happy with my performance. She's going to tell all her friends about it. You know, other people may text me wanting a shot. I don't know, whatever version of happiness is for you guys. But what I'm trying to get here is that you almost make that vision brighter and stronger and look at the benefits of it in any situation. Again, sports, job interview, etc., etc. And you go around repping in your head the benefits of it. And eventually, for a lot of people, some people obviously may need different steps and maybe further steps, etc. But when you've reminded yourself of the benefits of that, that's the narrative that you're telling yourself, then this becomes stronger than the negative one. It's the excitement, it's the desire, it's the end result becomes more powerful than what you're fearful of. Then, and only then, have you got a chance to create that powerful story where you're more excited to go for it rather than running the other way and you're fearful to go for a job.
Yeah. So it's all basically about changing your almost focus and perspective on like what you actually want from this situation rather than what you're fearful of.
What do I do if the thing that makes me happy is playing football and running, and yet I'm now at the stage where my body can't play football more than once every 2 weeks?
But I guess like it does come down to that. You are just going to have to accept it, that your body isn't capable of performing to the
same
level.
The thing that's so frustrating is that I'm 24.
Yeah, but what are you going to do, mate? Are you going to just say that? Oh, I'm 24. Oh, I'm 25. Oh, I'm 26. No, but it is, mate. But it is. I shouldn't have a grey spot on my head with where my hair should be. I'm only 24. I shouldn't be going grey. Yet, I have that. I could draw and colour it in every day, or I can embrace it and focus on other things that I can do that maybe, you know, would actually make me happy. Because is moaning about the fact that you're frustrated making you happy? Well, if it's not, then, you know, what are other things that you could do that maybe may make you happier? I guess is a way to look at it.
Realistically, the longer that you're holding on to the fact that you're not able to do it, it's only making it worse, because you're getting like more and more frustrated at the fact that you can't do it still.
But it's all good, man. Like, it is obviously hard. Like, it is obviously hard. And, like, we do understand.
Keep rolling.
Are you good, man?
And it is, you know, it's authentic to have these feelings. It's authentic to be frustrated. It's, you know, to be angry, to want different things. You know, we've actually got to embrace that. You've got to go there and feel those emotions. It's, you know, we've got a thing called the sort of denial cycle as well, where we go through different emotions, where we push back, where we don't accept evidence, where we make it angry with it, and then we, you know, we start coming out of that other end. But what can be helpful is to start the process of what may be an emotional journey as you're feeling now, Theo. Emotionally painful journey as well. And it can be fearful. You know, you've carved such a successful career on YouTube. One of the narratives that you may be telling yourself, and again, I'm not saying you are, maybe, okay, well, what do I do now? Like, I was so good at this. Like, is there a future for me? You know, is it black and white? Am I finished? And it's important to feel that, because that allows your humanistic side to come out, your emotional side to come out. It's part of the healing process and acceptance, you know, phase as well. To then, like, okay, like, just little by little, what else could I start looking at? It's not that you want to do
it. Another. Like, okay. when I did my groin, I couldn't play football. When I start running, my knee gets fucked, and now I'm back into running, and now my fucking foot's fucked. Like, it's one thing after another.
Do you want to cut? Wait, Theo, do you want to cut?
Yeah, do you want to cut?
Fine.
I mean, it was meant to be a therapy session. I didn't want
to. Yeah, I know, but I just
get upset.
I'm always injured, and everyone just takes the piss out of my injuries because I'm always fucking injured again.
Yeah, but you know, that's like.
Again, in what can be going on here is that, first of all, let's all accept, and I think this is, you know, just coming from a sort of coaching perspective, I think we've got a beautiful opportunity here to actually help, you know, Theo, a guy who obviously used to are very close to, is that when stuff occurs and life does throw stuff at you, some of it we cannot control, all right? What we can do as humans is we can do a thing called catastrophization, Theo. All right, and that is where we start lumping things together and we start offering things like everything goes wrong or this always happens to me. And again, that is a beautifully human thing to do. It's beautifully human. It's part of what we do, again, because we want good stuff. We want to stay for the bad stuff. We want to self-preserve. We want to keep away from stuff that we don't feel will help us self-preserve. But again, about this FRE game that myself and Joe talked about, factor emotion, it's like, okay, so I've had this injury, all right, that's a standalone thing. I've then had this injury, that's a standalone thing. I'm just giving you a different choice about how to look at it. So based on what you've got to deal with now, you could come up with a plan how to move that forward. Yes, you may clump everything together. It's normal to clump, absolutely beautifully normal to clump everything together. And you've got to feel that and you've got to cry that in order for you to then start coming up with different opportunities, different solutions, different possibilities and choices you can give yourself in order for you to start going to where you want to be from an emotional standpoint. Because obviously where you are now, there's some, it's not unhelpful emotions, it's emotions that need to be shown, that need to be exhibited, that, you know, that need to come out. But what that does allow as well is then also an opportunity to think, okay, how can I move from where I am now more to where I want to be, based on either the options, the injuries, your situation, what you've got now. So a lot of people at present, with the pandemic that's going on, is that a lot of the work that I'm getting in from my corporate clients is around about, well, I've lost my job, or people have been put at risk, or they've been furloughed, or they haven't been furloughed, etc. So, okay, I get that, but it's about your situation now. You might have lost your job, you might not be able to pay the mortgage, but how are you going to make the best out of this opportunity? Because it's all to come down to how you're thinking, feeling, and acting. And whether we want that or not, in every single situation we have, we've got a choice to deal with it in a way that makes us feel better, that makes us feel more positive, and, you know, it's more helpful to us. That's not to say that you won't feel down, but we've got a choice that we can deal with that to the best of our ability, which means you become that better version of yourself. But it's all down to how you choose to handle that situation, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah.
And we've always got your back. I know, like, it's not going to be the same as, like, playing football and whatnot, but, like, you are in a fortunate position where, like, you can head down so many different successful avenues. Like, I mean, in your head, are you thinking, like, no YouTube, back to McDonald's? Like, is that what... Does that bother you?
No, it's not that. It's like, I've done other things. I got my second channel, so I can do other things. It's just, I want to be able to...
Is it the sheer principle of not being able to play?
Yeah, and even when I try other things like running, because I'm into my running, I had a steroid injection in my knee in November. That was meant to help. Didn't help. Well, I've been running recently and it's been okay because I've got these new shoes, but then today I wake up and my plantar fasciitis is back, which I haven't had since I was like 15. Mm-hmm. So it just feels like it's one thing after another stopping me.
I know this may be, you know, sort of may go against what you're feeling at the moment, but it's actually really beneficial for you to be feeling this, because again, it just gives us a little nudge that we are, that we're human, and we have these, you know, emotions that sit with, you know, present themselves with crying, with sadness, with not feeling that we're fulfilling our own potential or not being able to do that we want to do. But, you know, that's it, just alongside us being happy and optimistic. But all these emotions are beautifully human. But again, you know, you said you've tried things like running. Is it just running that you've tried?
You know, I've done swimming as well.
Yeah, okay. So,
just not, I just love running, that's why, and I just can't do it.
Mm-hmm. And again, that comes to that acceptance, which would be, you know, maybe it's a few sessions, just you and I, that one-to-one type stuff, because this can't be fixed over, or at least fixed to the point where it would feel really helpful and you can move on to something else. But there's definitely stuff that you can do to, first of all, start to compartmentalise, that's what we call a compartmentalise, each specific thing, so you just deal with it one by one, and you reduce the catastrophization effect instead of lumping it all together, because that's not helpful. Yes, the injuries have occurred, that's an absolute fact, but we can deal with that a little bit better. And if you can deal with that a little bit better, more logically, remember, it's not pretending that everything's perfect, it's getting that normal emotional baseline, then you can start little mini goals that will start moving you away from here into potentially somewhere that you find more happiness, more, you know, just it allows you to have that natural energy and also to please yourself by finding something else that you're interested in. It might not be what you've done, but there will be other stuff out there that can make you feel happier than what you're feeling now.
It all started when I was, you know, Joe, you know when I did my knee before Zante?
Yeah.
It was ever since then that the injuries had been bad, and I was out for a year, and the guy texted me, like, apologise, and I just never replied to him.
Shit, that's since 2014, mate.
Yeah.
It's a long time. I mean, I can relate on, obviously, the knee thing. Like, I've obviously ruptured my ACL and snapped my meniscus, and it's still snapped because the doctor says there's not enough blood flow to fix it. So I am going to need a knee replacement within like 10 years, apparently. And I'm obviously not meant to run. I obviously, training for my fight, only did swimming and cycling. But it's got to a point now where obviously, I mean, I can't run many days consecutively because the injury starts to hurt. But I try and just like do it as and when I can. I mean, compensate any running, like the running that I'd normally want to do with other exercises, and obviously at first I was like, oh, there's nothing I want to do bar running, but realizing that I, you know, can do other exercises, and you know, I actually enjoy other exercises more, has been what's allowed me to sort of, I guess, cope and deal with it better. Because I guess it was easy at first for me to say, oh, because I can't run, that's it, like I can't exercise. But I didn't know that I actually enjoyed those other things more until I did them. So maybe, mate, there's things out there that you perhaps haven't tried or maybe have written off before realising that you may actually enjoy those as well.
it's definitely hard for Theo in the sense of like football is his absolute passion as well though, because like I compare it to say like if someone like cut off my hand and I couldn't play my guitar anymore, like that would be absolutely like that would ruin my life in my head.
So like I guess career.
Yeah, no, exactly. So that's like another thing. It's not just like, oh, I enjoy doing this, I'm gonna miss this because I can't. It's like this is my entire world. Like this is what I wake up wanting to do.
So there's a guy that I've just been looking on my phone there. I don't know if you can see that guy there.
Yeah.
So that's a guy called Andy Reid. He was a guest speaker on one of the safety and health shows that I usually talk at. I go around the country doing talks on mental health and performance and psychology. And I learned a lot from Andy just within a sort of 10-minute conversation. He was in Afghanistan. And a big sportsman, you know, passionate about the army, team leader. He was in Afghanistan, stood on an IED, and in that split second, two of his legs were blown off and one of his arms. And that does not mean that what I'm saying to Theo is, Theo, there's a guy here who's lost two of his arms and one of his two legs and one arms. Pick yourself up. I'm not saying that at all, because your situation is very much personal to you. Yeah, very, very much personal to you, which is where you get, you know, people at the moment with the pandemic, where people are going outside and, you know, people are saying stay in and all these type of different choices. Well, just because it works for some person across here doesn't mean it works for that other person over there. But what I did learn even more from Andy was that when he lost both of his legs and his arm, the mini goals that he set himself were almost the backbone to his recovery. But the KPI, the actual, what I call the keystone habit, that if you do something, so if you want to go for a run in the morning and you put your trainers at the end of your bed, or even as soon as you put out your trainers and socks and all your kits there, you're more likely to go for that run. The run's like an output of your keystone habit. So if you want to lose weight, it's actually not about a lot of other stuff. It's about putting your trainers at the end of the bed. His keystone habit was setting himself mini goals. That was the routine. That was the structure. So rather than staying where he was and pondering on that and being frustrated, yes, he was frustrated. Yes, he was sad, got depressed, went through all this type of stuff. But it was the creating mini goals that actually gave him that focus to move on to the next thing. That was what I took from Andy's like little chat with me. It was these tiny mini goals that he would set every day about what he was going to achieve. And that helped him accept the fact that he couldn't play football with his kid, couldn't play football at all. Yeah, he definitely wasn't going to go swimming or all this type of stuff that he had to accept. But what he did do is he set himself goals in order to achieve that actually started to the production of the dopamine, started to go through that mesolimbic pathway where the dopamine starts to come and it starts to create the reward center that we've been talking about, in order for him to pick up his mood and move on to that next phase in his life. Obviously, he didn't want to step on that IED, he didn't want both of his legs to be blown off, he didn't want to lose his arm, but he had to accept that situation and then do something for his own cerebral health, his mental health, in order for him to plot that path to the next thing, whatever that was going to be.
So what are some of the little goals that he would set?
Yeah, sure. So Andy was telling me some of the little goals that he would set to himself would be, for example, ironing his clothes. So, okay, I'm going to start ironing my clothes. Now, the first thing might have been his shirt. Now, I know this might sound absolutely minimal, but when you've got no legs and one arm, to iron a shirt is quite a complex physical task to do with one hand. So it was like these little things that he started setting himself with that might seem absolutely minuscule to everybody else, but they were his Everest at that particular time. But what he was doing, regardless of the task, he was setting himself mentally to stop mulling over what could have been, to stop saying, to almost stop torturing himself. And then he started developing more physical type goals where I think it was like 500 miles he wanted to cycle. He just come up with this number. It might not be five, it was something like that. But then what he did, he said, okay, well, I can't even get on my bike at the moment. Yeah, obviously got no legs and one arm. The first thing, how do I actually get on my bike? And then when I've done that, okay, I need to get up to a mile. Right, I'm happy with a mile, I need to get up to 2 miles. And it was so like incremental, but what he had, Theo, he had a plan. That's what he had. He had a plan. He had a strategy. He had some type of template or structure that allowed him, day by day, week by week, to aim towards something that would make him a better version of him, that would make him more happier, that would make him more content, that allowed him to, you know, to go anti the ostrich effect instead of putting his head in the sand by creating that structure and then doing it from a, you know, he wasn't what we call behavioural avoidance. He wasn't not doing something. He was pushing himself to do that. He was putting himself in those places where he was evolving, he was developing, and ultimately he was starting to think, feel and act a lot better about himself.
I mean, I guess one thing I've done is made a goal of uploading on my second channel almost every day. That's definitely helped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, just these little goals, it doesn't mean that you will feel great straight away. It doesn't mean that you feel happier ever more. It doesn't mean that you'll never think about it again. But by focusing on what you can do, what makes you feel better, what's in your control, rather than trying to fix something that's not in control, that's where those dark type of behaviours and emotions lie, by fighting something that maybe can't be changed. Instead of, you know, we talk about strengths and weaknesses. There's a big thing, again, with the workplace called neurodiversity. It's about looking at people and where their skills lie. And rather than trying to fix their weaknesses, oh, I need to put all my energy into fixing what I'm not great at. No, bollocks. Do what you're fantastic at. Put all your energy into what you're brilliant at, because you're more likely to surround yourself and create that environment where you're the best version of yourself. It's all these like little tweaks and thinking about things slightly differently, in a way that step by step you create that structure, you create your own template, that eventually you will get into your groove and you will be, you know, surrounded by more of those emotions that are helpful for you, Theo.
I think the frustrating thing is that I keep telling myself that my, let's say for the groin, for the football, that it's just going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
And like for 2 years, I've spent like thousands of pounds on physio. I've gotten every single scan possible. And they just come back and say, like, we've tried everything. Like, it's just never going to be better. And like, apparently, like, there's not even any surgery that will fix it, which mm-hmm. I don't know. But maybe there is, but who knows? But it's just a bit frustrating for me that it can't just be fixed.
Mm.
I guess.
And that's it. Like, you know, accept that you are frustrated. Get frustrated. Get angry. You know, throw tins of beans about whatever you do. this is a little bit into what Bruce does when he's frustrated. But they've got to be Heinz beans. But the idea is that, you know, like, embrace those feelings that you're having. But while doing that, start plotting that strategy. Start giving yourself those little goals. Because if you just stand still and try to torture yourself, you know, about what can't be changed, very rarely is it helpful in the long term, Theo. That's the point that I'm trying to convey here, if that's okay.
Good. It gives you a bit of direction.
Yeah. Rather than, I guess, I guess beating yourself up or just being angry about the situation, which is obviously not natural. Like, obviously, you're going to feel like that. Maybe with like having like these little goals, it'll help you start feel like getting your enjoyment from life from other avenues rather than solely football. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think then the other part is that the football was my main income. There was a big income. So obviously I'm changing that up with the second channel, but it's just sort of like don't have that anymore.
And waffling.
I'm waffling. I love waffling, yeah. But it's more the fact that like I could go and film 3-4 videos a week and be absolutely fine. And now I'd do one video for 2 hours and I can't walk for a week and I can't play football for like 2-3 weeks. It's like, oh, that's just going to be my life now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know when we would do Tuesday night football, father side?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The best thing I ever did. And it's cancelled.
But that'll come back, you know.
Yeah, that'll come back. What are some things that are good, like, in your life that you do enjoy? Like, what is good?
Running. Can't do that anymore.
Right, things that you can do.
Like, what is actually good?
Making my FIFA videos.
There you go.
I enjoy that.
Filming waffling once a week.
Enjoy that.
Let's say, okay, maybe now is a bad time to use as an example, but let's like say in normal day-to-day life where we're not on lockdown and you can see Janine or you can come down and go out with the Seaford boys.
I enjoy that.
Yeah.
It's almost like I'd almost like to say, okay, let's so this Reed, what was his name? Andy Reed?
Yeah.
Is that his name? Like, I'd almost want to be like, right, Let's put all of us in his shoes for a week,
yeah.
and then see when we come back into our bodies, just how grateful we are for what we do have.
I feel like pathetic because I'm like moaning about this.
But it's obviously your personal experience. It's personal to you. You feel the way you do. Like, there's nothing wrong with feeling the way you do, right? That's you, mate. Like, the issue is obviously where you label it, that it's like almost the be all and end all. Like, because you have this problem, that's it. You're like, career's over. That sort of like narrative is probably not helping you or making things any better. It's just making you feel worse. So I guess it's just like trying to shift your perspective so that you can maybe view things in a more constructive, productive, progressive sort of way, rather than, oh, this is it, this is over, I now don't have a passion. That makes sense?
Yeah.
And remember, what we've got going on here is a really good example. Remember, beautifully human, that's a phrase that I use, beautifully human, of the fact that when you talk about, you know, the sort of 10,000 positive comments and then it's the one that hurts us, it's like, you've got the one event here that's going on that is consuming you, that all your emotions going on, where, again, that's beautifully human. But what we need to do, in fact, if you, you know, drop us a message after this, Theo, and I'll send you this little template to do, it's about raising our awareness to what's still great out there, what we still enjoy, what we still can do. You know, so we actually raise our awareness to the 10,000 other good things that are still there, but just because we're hurting that little bit at the moment, our awareness of them is slightly reduced. But that's all it is. Again, it's just a tool, it's just a nudge, it's just a little exercise that will help you realise and just go through the things that are still there, or even new things that you've never explored before or experimented with, that could fill that potential void, fill some of the void, or even be better than what you've done in the past. But it's about feeling those emotions, giving yourself different choices, doing some exercises to allow you to start then being observable of the other stuff around you. And again, it's not being selfish or, you know, you're being ungrateful or whatever you've said. Remember, your situation is absolutely individual to you. Absolutely individual to you. Like here, I'm on, I think, the day 14 or 15 of lockdown. And because of my wife's condition, she's got severe asthma, she's got one kidney, she was in the high-risk group. So we decided as a family unit to go on to lockdown a little bit more early than before the government said, right, everybody stay at home. So I've got a, you know, beautiful garden, I've got a punch bag, I've got weights, I've got a rower, I've got everything. And I still find myself frustrated, even though I know there are families who are living in flats, who haven't got a garden, who haven't got access to any type of physical equipment to help them do, you know, like sort of physical fitness, etc. But I'm still okay to be frustrated because I'm frustrated with my situation and I'm allowed to be frustrated. I'm allowed to feel that. But then it's about, okay, what other choices have I got? How can I get around this? What, you know, what other opportunities can I give myself by becoming aware of what I have got rather than torturing myself by what I haven't got?
There you go.
Well, who would have thought this would have turned into a Theo therapy session?
Yeah, there we go. Plot twist. It's a Malfoy therapy session. But I think, like, in a way, obviously, it's upsetting, but I think in a way, mate, you'll look back on this conversation that we've had today and probably be like, that, like, I needed to hit those emotions. I needed to let that out and release it, because that's almost like the first step of becoming aware of how I can deal with it.
It's definitely brought on by me waking up and my foot hurting after I thought I was making progress. And just had that other setback. I thought we were going to talk about how I perform under pressure.
Yeah, well, getting boners before sleeping with your first bird or whatever.
We're going to mention my Wembley Cup goal again.
There you go. But I think overall, yeah, it's been productive. I hope you guys, the listeners and the viewers, have taken things from, obviously, what we've said. It's obviously difficult opening up, you know, talking about things that you may have been pushing away and avoiding. But I think through talking about these things and through listening to your friends that may be struggling or needing just some ears to talk to, I think, yeah, hopefully it's come across that it is all a positive thing in the end, like overall. So, yeah, boys, should we conclude it there?
I think it's a really good example, if I could say this, is that one of the things that we talked about depression, I said talking therapies. Anybody can be there for their friends to create a space of, you know, to listen, to help them look at other ways to maybe look at their particular situation, to give them other options, other opportunities, because they're not, you know, involved in that emotion. And this is what's happened here. It's a beautiful example of talking therapies, where you've got someone who you care about has got a situation that at the minute they're struggling to deal with, but just by having the chat and listening and saying, well, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? There will be a lot of beautiful stuff that's just happened there. And this is what, you know, I try to get across. Anybody can do this. Anybody can just create a space to get in, you know, connected with those people around you that little bit more, to help them overcome some inhibitions or the thoughts or the circumstances. Talking therapies, honestly, there's some beautiful magic to be had.
There you go. All right then. Well, boys, girls, if you can leave a like rating, comment down below anything, any advice, any sort of questions that you may have. And who knows, we may do something like this again, because I think this is, it's been really productive. So, lads, good stuff.
Thank you.
Until next time, peace.